not just any day, it is the day of the Lord. David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, I will stand up, be counted, rejoice, and be glad in it. It is the Lord's day, and because it is the Lord's day, before this day is over, something super is going to happen in my natural. And today, I stand to my feet because my day calls to me and declares there is joy in it. The joy of the Lord shall give me the strength for the day. And after having done all to stand, I am still standing. Oh, you don't know what I've gone through this week. You don't know what I'm going through now. But this one thing is true in my life. After having gone through it, I am still standing. I may not look like much. I may not feel like much. And to you and to the enemy, I may not matter much. But you better do the spiritual math, because the Lord's strength is in my day, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you ain't seen nothing yet. My best is yet to come. My best is before me. I'm taking dead aim on the enemy. And before today is over, I will crawl on the shoulders of a holy God. And greater will I be in him than all those things around me. Can I hear your good morning? Sometimes you got to stir it up. Sometimes you got to declare, let's get this party started. We've been sitting in a pool of pain long enough. Let's get the party started. Let's go ahead and go down to the party store and pick out a pinata, fill it with spiritual candy, and get the word of the Lord out and hit it with the sword of the Lord and bring forth the provision out of the pinata. I always loved being a little kid playing pin the tail on the donkey. I'd like to get my sister's picture and cut it out and just put it about right there in the... Oh, some of you act like you've never had a big sister that beat you up in the morning, at lunch, and at night. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When I was a little kid, I was my sister's pinata. It's okay for me to dream big and some days turn the table on the big sis in my life. But I'm talking a whole lot more than just the big sister in your life. I'm talking about the enemy of your life that has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And today I'm talking about pulling out not just any word, but the word of the Lord that in your hand becomes a weapon. And with that weapon, you can begin to speak to things that be not as though they are. You can begin to speak to your feet and call them victorious. You can begin to speak to your circumstances and you can begin to call them conquered. You can begin to speak to your pain and you can begin to call yourself well. Sometimes you got to just get the party started. Reach your hands into the heavens and begin with a racket, with a noise, to declare this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. Excuse me, I just can't preach yet because I feel like you're not done praising yet, because I feel like what you're going through requires a little something more out of you. You've taken this thing sitting down, but the Lord is saying, stand up.
May be seated.
Am I on here yet?
This morning I want to teach on the subject of prayer and the difference that it makes in our lives. I want to talk to you about how when you pray, prayer has the ability to overcome the most insurmountable things in your life. I want to borrow from a story we find in 2 Kings chapter 20. So take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to 2 Kings chapter 20, because it's there in those 11 verses that I want to borrow from the story of a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king. We're going to borrow from a portion of his story and his life, and we're going to learn how prayer overcomes even the most insurmountable odds in our life. We're turning to 2 Kings chapter 20 in just a moment. I'll be reading these 11 verses. In these 11 verses, you're going to hear a story of a man by the name of King Hezekiah who got a prophetic word. This prophetic word sounded something like this. The Lord says, King Hezekiah, get your house in order. Your days are numbered. You are going to die. Now, you know things are going pretty bad in life when not even the prophetic word of the Lord gives you much of a chance of making it. Ever been there before and at least felt that way before? And woke up on a particular morning that looked just average and normal. Maybe like this morning, you woke up and it looked like a normal, insurmountable kind of day. It looked in the natural just like all of the other days leading up to you hearing that you must get your house in order, that your days are numbered, and you're going to die. This is the kind of day that King Hezekiah woke up to. And in 2 Kings chapter 20, we find in the first verse, In those days, Hezekiah became ill, and he was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. How many of you have found that your attention goes to another level when someone speaks to you and says, this is what the word of the Lord says? So now that I have your interest, you have to understand that God had a hold of Hezekiah's interest. And here's what the prophet says. He says, Hezekiah, again, this should sound familiar, in this day that indeed the Lord has made, indeed there shall be the joy and the strength of the Lord in it, but you may have to look for it in prayer. Are you breathing? You see, sometimes you and I wake up, and we wake up in one of these days, and we hear something similar from a voice. We get a word. It's not always the Lord speaking to us, but in his story, it was the Lord saying, Hezekiah, put your house in order because you are going to die. Your days are numbered. Now, you and I don't always hear that from the Lord, and I hope that we don't have to hear something that severe from God to get our house in order. But there are times that you and I wake up and it looks like a normal, average day, living in days like Hezekiah is living in, and we look at the day and we see that it looks like, again, we're living out a day that we're going to be overcome and conquered. So why even try? Why even look for the strength of God? Why even look for the joy of the Lord? Why even put on a happy face? Let's just be spiritually moody and walk in our own strength and walk in our own fears and not walk by faith in the strength and the joy of the Lord. Are you breathing? Now, Hezekiah got this word from the Lord. Now, I'm sure if you and I were at a conference and somebody prayed this kind of prophetic word over us, we would ask for our money back. We would be looking for the Spiritual Better Business Bureau, and we would be wanting to report this false prophet. And yet, throughout the Bible, God often speaks and he tells the people what they need, not what they want. Our challenge is we live in a 21st century that people pick their church by hearing what they want and not by what they need. However, what is the same in our lives is that we often hear these kinds of reports not from the Lord, but from the enemy of our life. The enemy often uses the same odds in predicting our outcome. He uses the same words. He will tell us things through our fears, through our imaginations, and through our circumstances that sound somewhat like, Greg, you better put your house in order because you're fixing to die financially. You're fixing to die spiritually. You're fixing to die emotionally. You're not going to make it. You're not going to recover from this season in your life. And there's this real temptation. There's this real tendency when the enemy comes in just like that. I think Scripture calls that a flood. He floods us with all kinds of imaginations, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of circumstances. And when he comes in like that, there is that tendency and temptation to live under that. And that's why when we speak, it sounds like we're talking underwater. Because we're not talking above our circumstances, we're talking from beneath them. They look much bigger than us because we're beneath them. And so it requires of you and myself, and I'm not sure how good of English that is, but let's try you and I. Let's try y'all. Y'all have a discipline to rise above that thing by faith and begin to search in each and every day for the joy of the Lord, which will be your strength. Now, that may not be great preaching, but it is right living. Can you give right living a good amen? And have you noticed in any and every trial, there comes that point that you're going to be required to walk by faith? Have you noticed? Have you also noticed that pastor's faith won't help a brother out much? Because there comes that point of personal responsibility that not even the prophetic word has the responsibility to walk your faith out. You, in and of yourself, have that place of choice where you determine your next step. Psalms 37 says in verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." And yet sometimes you and I are not willing to take the step that brings God delight. But it's in giving God our ways that we delight in God, and then as we delight in God, he pours out in our heart the things to desire so that he can give us the desires of our heart. We desire joy, we desire strength for our day, but it takes a little something from us. So here's King Hezekiah. It's not the enemy. Now some of us would rise up and we would bind the enemy. Regardless that the prophet said it's what the Lord says, we would rise up and we would say, "I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. I rebuke this sentence of death in Jesus' name." And the enemy would be stepping back in our lives saying, "Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. This did not come from me. I did not get the memo." And I think what the Lord is teaching us in each of our lives is that many times God will not give us what we want, but he'll give us what we need. This word that Hezekiah needs stirs him up to do something. Find about three people, look at them, and tell them, "Don't just sit there, do something." Now find those same three people and tell them, "But not just anything." Find three more while I take a drink of water. Please find them. I remember going to church as a young man, never being thirsty until I saw the preacher drink. And then I would feel like I was stranded on an episode of Lost, living without water. Any of you feel that same way? Well, you can't leave. I think here, you and I make the mistake of just doing anything. And it's when we do anything that we tend to get spiritually sloppy. We tend to start whining and complaining and murmuring. And we sound like something from, oh, Peanuts, the cartoon strip. And we begin to take upon us this Charlie Brown philosophy in life. And we begin to feel like everybody's picking on me. And now even God's in on it. Why is everybody always picking on me? And we have this tendency in our doing anything to play the martyr. And a martyr always likes company. And so we seek out someone who will come into agreement with our spiritual whining and dining. And yet what King Hezekiah does is not just anything. He does the one thing that will give him hope and bring to him healing. And it's pretty easy. Prayer. If everything else fails, why not try prayer? I remember as we moved into the building here, it was a very difficult journey for us. And I remember in those early days how difficult it was. Now, this morning, while we're on a four-day holiday for all the parents in Clear Creek, can I have an amen? And we're so looking forward to putting them back in school tomorrow. And I'm putting mine back in tomorrow. You could not tell this morning the true numbers of this place because of many gone. But we were having a challenge in working with the growth issues both on the outside and on the inside. And there was some murmuring going on. Pastor, you mean this church sometimes has some murmuring going on? Yes. There may be fellow murmurers around you. We passed out membership cards, and so you know who you are. Raise your card up if you are a murmurer. I would not raise my hand, sir. Oh, but you did. And I can remember as a staff, all of us gathered together, and I remember a night where we sat in a room in our church, and there was 12 or 13 of us in that room that night, and we said, you know what? It's out of our hands now. We need to put it back into the hands of the Lord, and we just really need to get on our hands and knees and pray. 30 days later, this whole place looked completely different, both on the outside and on the inside. Supernatural things began to happen. And it was so ironic that at the next staff meeting, we were talking about how impacting our praying really was. And one of our new younger staff members, she raised her hand and she said, you know, this prayer stuff really works. We should have tried this a long time ago. Don't you just love that? Because sometimes the thing we need the most is the last thing we do. We get busy doing all these other anything. And we lose sight of the one thing, the something, that adds God into the equation and brings God into our circumstances. God is speaking to Hezekiah, and in verse 1, he said, this is my word. It's coming through my prophet, but hear me and hear me good. Put your house in order. You're going to die. Your days are numbered, and you will not recover. Now, I love verse 2. Because Hezekiah, in verse 2, turns his face to the wall, and he does the one thing, the something, that brings God into his situation. He prays to the Lord. That's what I love about prayer, is it goes beyond believing only what is reasonable and possible. Often you and I look at our circumstances, and because we see no reasonable way of getting out of them, we begin to live according to reason and not according to prayer. Aren't you glad that Hezekiah, and don't you think Hezekiah was glad that he didn't just leave his circumstances to reason, but he brought out of his reasoning his heart to the Lord and he began to pray. So it says in verse 2, he turned his face. He did what? He turned his face to the wall. He prayed to the Lord. And here's his prayer. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And then notice, he's human, and it says that he's weeping bitterly in verse 3. Verse 4 says, before Isaiah, the prophet, had left the middle court, the same guy who came to him and said, this is what the Lord says. King Hezekiah, put your house in order. You're going to die, your days are numbered, and you're not going to recover from this. God stops the prophet and says, I've got another word for the king. Go back to him. Verse 5 says, and tell him that he is the leader of my people, and this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the church of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then the prophet said, prepare a lump of figs. They did so, and they applied that particular fig Newton to the boil, and it says that King Hezekiah recovered. How many of you know fig Newtons? Well, they don't cure everything on the outside. They does a body good on the inside. Oh, wait, I was talking on food last week. I'll go to my next sermon now. Hezekiah, like us, needed a sign. Ever hear from God and somebody speak prophetically into your life what only you and God could know? And you walk away from that moment and you look back and you say, but God, I still need a sign. And God looks at you and says, but the prophetic word was my sign. How many of you from time to time need some reassurance? And even when God speaks to you, you still need a sign. Because if that's you, raise your hand and let me welcome you to my club. It's a growing club. Look around. There's many of us. Raise your hands again. God can speak to you, but you still need a sign club. All right. We're good. The rest of you are asleep, and we'll wake you up soon. So Hezekiah said, Prophet Isaiah, remember, the Lord doesn't want you in church. He wants you in Christ. Verse 8, Hezekiah had asked the prophet Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now? Isaiah answered and said, this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? It is a simple matter for the shadow to go 10 forward steps, said King Hezekiah. Rather, do something supernatural, and that will be the sign to me that I will receive a supernatural healing. Have instead the shadow go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps that had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. I often wonder what the shepherd spoke to the shadow to make it go backwards 10 steps. Well, until we are in heaven, only the shadow knows. I want to talk about prayer. And I want to do more than just talk about prayer. I want us to begin praying. Our staff has grown very concerned in their hearts about our next step as a church. We recognize that our building, in some capacities, is limiting some of the goals that we have in reaching and educating God's people. And yet we've learned through the 6.5 years of meeting in hotels and 3 years in 6,000 square feet of a shopping center that we don't have to be limited by space unless we allow space to limit us. But we recognize that the house of the Lord may grow into a different size, into a different setting. And we're very concerned because we want each of you to be loved one at a time. And we want to make room for each and for every person that he said in his word and with his life should not perish. And so we've grown very concerned about what our next move is. Many have asked us, Pastor, are we going to 2 services? And I calmly look at them and say, yes, if you'll be here early to open up the building, lead the worship, and then finish preaching. And some of them are like, sure, I'm in. No, in all seriousness, we are very concerned about this hour in the church. Enough so that we're like Hezekiah, turning our face to the wall. We are right now in 30 days of prayer and fasting. Each one of our staff members has a day that they set aside food and time in their schedule, and they turn their face to the wall, and they say, Lord, let us hear from heaven. Give us a sign as to what the next step is. You see, friend, I think there are certain keys when it comes to prayer that when you get that key in your hand, it opens certain doors in heaven that could not come any other way but by prayer and fasting. And so as a leadership team, we want to encourage you to start a season of prayer and fasting with us so that you and I can see the abundance that God has promised us come forth. How many of you think your family could stand to be blessed? And think that quite possibly in this season of prayer and fasting, your blessing may come individually as we open the door corporately for what God desires to do. And so over the next few weeks as I teach this series, I want to do more than talk about praying, because I think we do a lot of talking about praying. It's a little bit like talking about going on a diet. We talk a lot about going on a diet halfway through our latest chocolate fudge sundae. And yet we really never get around to going on our diet and really never get around to praying. So I want to do more than teach and preach and talk about praying. I'm going to include you in some time of praying. I'm going to encourage each of you in just a few moments to stand up from where you are, put the key of prayer in your hand, turn your body, your life, and your face toward the wall or toward the altar, and bring it to this place and cry out and say, "Oh Lord, remember me. Oh Lord, remember my faithfulness. Oh Lord, in the midst of those things coming against me, in the midst of what the enemy is saying to me, I need a fresh word from heaven. Oh Lord, you said that if I would just fall to my knees and if I would just repent and turn from my wicked ways, that then I would hear from heaven and there would be healing for my family and healing for my land." In just a few moments, I feel like we need to do that. And I want to encourage each of you to come ready every Sunday to pray. To do more than just talk about prayer, but to also do some praying. This morning I want to give you one key, and I want to put that in your hand. Because I believe this one key is going to open a certain door that's going to be so key in your world hearing from heaven. I think many of you sit here this morning and your earth needs a touch from heaven. I mean, you literally need God to lend you a hand. You need some hope and you need some help. And I'm convinced it's not going to come by doing nothing or just doing anything. It's only going to be by doing the something that God puts a premium on, and that's prayer. The key this morning that I want to look at is from verse 2, where it says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. You see, Hezekiah turned over a new leaf. This is what prayer does. It causes us to go in a new direction. See, he had a good direction going. In the next few weeks, you'll hear historically about how Scripture describes him as having a heart for God. That he, though he was not like David with a man after God's own heart, that he was instrumental in undoing some damage that his natural father caused. You see, it was his natural father, King Ahaz, who began to build all kinds of idols and images and pagan temples throughout all of Judah. Judah means praise. And so you see that his natural father did something to the praise, did something to the nation. He built all of these ways of man into the equations of God. It says in history that he literally filled the house of God, the temple of God, and he made it a storage room. And that he nailed the door shut to the church. Now, wouldn't that be something if you came one Sunday and you found that Pastor Greg had filled this up with all kinds of storage units? You looked in and you could see that I parked an RV in here and got a good monthly rent for it in return. A boat over there, clothes, furniture. I filled this whole building and made it a storage unit because I thought I could have more financially for us by turning God's house into a storage bin than allowing it to remain God's house. This is what his dad had done. And history records that not only did he clean up the nation, but he cleaned out the house of God, and he pulled the nails out of the door, and he brought the presence of God back to the nation. And yet it's this presence of God that is speaking to him, saying, "Your days are numbered. Put your house in order. You're not going to recover from this. You're going to die." History says about this man that he was a godly man and that he did many good things. It says that when he prays, that God hears him and that God sees his tears. And yet here is this man that, according to Scripture, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his spiritual father David did. And that he removed the high places, he smashed the sacred stones, he cut down the Asherah or the pagan poles, he broke into pieces the very things that God had meant for them not to be something to worship, but disciplines. And it says that he never ceased to follow after God, and he kept the commandments of the Lord, and yet he is headed in a way that is not enough. He's done all these great and godly things, but what I'm trying to bring to you is the realization that even though he's done all these wonderful things, and he has a way that's going good, and it's a godly way, this hour of the trial, this hour of the word, requires him turning over a new leaf. He has to turn over. He's headed in the wrong direction. He has to rededicate his life back to God in order for things in his life to be turned around. That's what prayer does. Prayer even takes you out of your way, which is good. Because sometimes it's not bad and evil and ugly that keeps us from the best things of God. Sometimes it's just the good things in life that keeps us from God. Are you breathing? And we can say, well, we're missing a little church, but we're doing good things when we miss. We're forsaking the assembly of the saints, and we're kind of hit and miss in coming to church on Sunday and on Wednesday, and we're kind of hit and miss in educating our family in the things of God. But it's really not that bad, because look at the good things we're doing. Are you breathing? And we learn from this particular story that it's not always the bad things that are the enemy to our faith. Many times it's the good things that becomes an enemy to our faith. And the prayer power in this house can take you from the bad to the good and from the good to the God. And that's what God is trying to teach us here with King Hezekiah. So he has to turn over a new leaf so that his prayer can take aim at God. That's what prayer does. Prayer takes aim at God. And then it releases him to take aim on our enemy. See, all by himself, no matter what he did, he in and of himself did not have enough to defeat the enemy of death. The shadow was coming for him. The shadow was upon him. It was imminent. He would not recover. So in and of himself, he had to turn over a new leaf. He had to turn toward the Lord in his life. This morning, the word of the Lord came forth, and one of the individuals in our church that felt that the Lord was speaking spoke this, and I think it's right in tune with what I'm teaching on prayer. This individual writes, and it says that many people seem to be in a place where they keep missing their target. See, there are times that you and I admirably try to take on the enemy, and we're like King Hezekiah. We're turned this way. But in and of ourselves, it's not enough to hit the target. It's not enough to recover. It's not enough to be healed. It's not enough to see the impossible. We have to turn over. We have to turn around. For things to turn around, we have to turn over. I notice in this word that he writes and says, many of the individuals here today have tried to take a stand against the enemy, but they have been unable to land a blow with their sword. The reason being is because if you're fighting this way, you're just practicing. If the enemy's over here, all this practice over here is not going to affect that which is over here. And so Hezekiah had to literally take the word of the Lord as the sword of the Spirit and fight the enemy over here, not in his own strength and might, but in the power and the might of God's mighty hand. I hear the Lord saying, and this is the prophetic word of the Lord, I will be your aim this morning. Even though you have swung at Satan 1,000 times and missed, the Lord says to swing just once more this morning. But you can't swing here. You've got to turn over in prayer and swing here. You see, death, as you saw in the first few verses, notice with me, if you would, the first few verses again. We find that death was trying to prove a point. It says, in those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. So we see that death was trying to prove a point. But Hezekiah in prayer turned over. And when he turned over, he turned that period into an exclamation point. I mean, doesn't it sound like you've come to the end of your life, the end of your hope, and the end of your help, when the prophet comes to your door, knocks on it, and says, hey, you might want to get your things in order. Your days are numbered. You're going to die. You're not going to recover. Doesn't that sound like a period to you? And yet when he turns over, he turns the period into an exclamation point, and he says, not today. He does this by faith. He begins to call upon the Lord. He turns his face away from his problems with prayer. And like a coin, his trial has two sides. There's the one side that held the point of the valley of the shadow of death. And there's the other side of the coin, the other side of his trial, that held his shepherd and his shepherd's rod and his staff. I concur with this word. that many of us are here today and we are missing the target. And we're almost frustrated with anybody who talks about the joy of the Lord. We're almost frustrated when anybody gives to us comfort and assurance and that God can and will answer, because it feels like we have swung at this thing 1,000 times and we've missed so many times now, we're almost mad at anybody who would come and introduce to us the idea of swinging one more time. Are you breathing? And I feel that God is saying today, change sides. Because it's prayer and only prayer that moves the shepherd to speak to your shadow. And there's not anything like when your shadow over here says to your shepherd says to your shadow, not today. Now what I'd like to do this morning is put this key in your hand. To get it, you'll need to stand up, please. The key is that Hezekiah turned over a new leaf. He turned to the altar to pray. So what I want to ask you to do is to turn towards the altar. And not just turn, but I want to ask you to come to the altar. Now wait just a moment, because most of you are looking at this thing and you're saying, well, we can't all fit at the altar. Good point. But there is a place in the altar for each of us. And it requires of us turning our own face toward the altar. And we're going to signify that now by asking every person to begin to make a move. Now, your move toward the altar is what's going to matter. The first few rows are going to be able to fill up the altar. And then from that, we'll just have to fill out the aisles and fill up the aisles. The reality is, we're going to just start moving toward the altar. And the way I want to do this is, I want to ask the last in the back to be first. And I just want everybody in the back who feels like in life you're sitting on the back row and there's no need to even believe for victory. There's no need to even believe for this to come first. So wherever you are in the back, I just want you to come. We're going to just pray and then we're going to go home. So if you're in the back few rows and today you're ready to take one more swing and turn over a new leaf and a new direction, I just want you to come and make as much room as you can, because there's other people. I'm going to need you to stand so that we can maximize our space today. I just want to tell you, this is where the most courageous acts in life are lived out. It's not in a Harlequin romance book. It's not on some big movie screen. It's in the trenches of everyday living. You are those that are the superheroes in life, those that right now need a superhero kind of miracle. Now, I want everybody else to start joining them, and we're going to be like Noah and the Ark. It's going to get a little bit tight in here. We're coming two by two. And I just want you to all come as a church family. I wish you could see the picture I see, because I see strength. I see courage. I see, after having done all the stand, just the fact that you're here is a miracle, and just the fact that you're still standing and still in the game says that your faith is the real deal. Some of you are already just starting to feel the strength of God. Some of you are already breaking into tears, because just that awareness of God's presence brings an assurance. Doesn't it feel good just to stand in the altar? I think every one of us have in common the enemy's voice telling us, you're not going to recover. Some of you are hearing, your marriage is not going to make it. It's not going to recover. Some of us are hearing, man, your family's so split wide open now, it'll never recover. Some of us are hearing, our business will not recover. Others are hearing, our health will not recover. Still others are hearing, mentally, you're not going to recover. Spiritually, you'll never be good enough for God to forgive you, and that you're not going to recover. It's in our hearing. And the enemy has sent out a death sentence, and he's saying that your days are numbered. Put your house in order, curl up, and let your dream die. And today, we're just going to come pray. Now, what I thought would be really awesome to do is to pray the word, because it's the word that moves the shepherd to speak to our world and to our shadow. In prayer, we're going to use the word to take aim on the enemy. And we're going to do like some of the more traditional churches do. where the pastor prays and I'll say a statement and then you repeat it after me. And this is our time of prayer. Do you know, I found that when I'm going through my shadows, I can't trust what comes out of my mouth. Am I the only one that's found that to be true? Or is it just me? You found that your mouth can fail your faith if you don't watch it. So let's speak from the word of the Lord and let his mouth, his words, speak to our shadows. Would that be fair? So repeat after me. And can I encourage you to put a little attitude in it? Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, you're warmed up. Let's go public with our faith. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me now. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Look out behind me. Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. I turn my face to find the strength and the joy of the Lord. And this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In that day, he will pour out of his spirit. Let him pour. Let him pour on me. Get selfish. Ask God to pour on you. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and praise. You've turned your face to the wall. You've done what you can with your hands. Now let's see what God can do with his.
Oh,
long you've been in the midst of them. Move from talking about your problem to talking about your Savior and your Shepherd. It's praise that carried David into the battle before his Goliath. And that's why he could do more with one rock and a sling than a whole army could do for 40 days. We see this lived out. An entire army was paralyzed by what stood before them, and yet it was the praise found in one little guy's heart in the midst of his little rag and rock that did the impossible for him. So maybe you've swung at your giant 1,000 times your way. This morning you're holding the key of turning things over, and to turn things over in the spirit realm and try it God's way, it takes praise. Now picture for me right now how you think you would sound to others if today was your day that the impossible was made possible. How would you talk? What would be the tone? How would you act? Visualize that. See that by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hopefully you heard what that should look like. Now from that hearing, begin to model what your miracle coming to pass would look like through praise. It's going to take a deadly swing at your enemy. God's going to take a shot at what's been taking shots at you. So go ahead now and go from just praying, which is our way, to praising, which is God's way. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's not going to make sense. It's not, you can't ask your circumstances and feelings to make sense of this. That's why it's called praise. Crazy praise. Because in the natural, I care about what people think. I would never be caught praising like a crazy man unless, of course, the impossible was made possible. So let me see not just praise coming out of you, but crazy praise. Crazy. 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 It doesn't make sense. But remember, you're not refined to reasonable things, rational thoughts. You're released to go and do impossible things. And you're just willing enough crazy like a wolf. I want to know who gave the wolf the test to see if he was crazy. But that's another time and another message. Now here's what I want us to leave with. Every week I try to remind you that the world is a better place because who's in it? You. Today I want you to do kind of a group hug. A group intervention of sorts. Has any of you seen that show Intervention? And what they'll do is concerned individuals will get around somebody who has an addiction and take them for help, is the gist of it. And it just at the end of the show, it shows the outcome, and it shows the family crying when it's a good cry and a bad cry. But there's times that the family really is excited because there's a miracle that takes place. And they just love on each other, and it's like an intervention time. And man, I'm just like, gosh, I don't want to have a drug habit, but I want to feel the love of an intervention. I respond to love. Does anybody else? I just see them and I'm like, oh, to be loved by like that, and oh, to be hugged like that, and oh. So, you know, you never can underestimate what each other just needs from each other. Because sometimes when we're hurting, we pull away. And yet it may be our touch that brings assurance and hope to someone else. So get your intervention clothes on. Now just turn. And introduce each other to each other. And love on each other. Now go get your kiddos and have a great week And I remind you, this world is not a bitter place, but a better place because we are in it.